Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
Till we can't beat, beat!
We can't beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
What's up, Mr. Gator?
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
How's it going?
Doing well.
We're doing well. Curious about this Hassan Riddick story. Apparently he's being shopped. Drew Rosenhaus has been given a 24-hour period to try to trade him. He's calling everyone. I would imagine Detroit would be interested. I don't know what their financial situation is. I don't know what he's looking for. I don't know that the Jets know. I thought that the Jets made that trade with missing some information, and no one wants to do the same thing. But what is your take on that situation?
You definitely don't want to trade a guy who wants a new contract without giving him the new contract on the way through the door, because if you give up the trade compensation and he still doesn't have a new contract, he's got all the leverage, which we've seen. Now, look, it's cost him some money, a lot of money in fines and lost salary, but the Jets surely didn't see this coming or they wouldn't have made the trade. I think one of the good reasons for doing this is to let Riddick see what else is out there, or more accurately, what else is not out there. That can go a long way toward, you know, we know what's behind door number two. It's not great. Let's focus on door number one. Let's get a deal done with the Jets. The 49ers thought when they gave Brandon Ayuk permission in March to do that, he'd find out there isn't anyone out there that was willing to pay what he wanted. They found out otherwise. So I think that's part of the ploy here. Let Riddick see that there's nothing out there close to or equal than what the Jets are willing to do. And that might be the first step in breaking this logjam.
Lions have about $33 million under the cap, according to SpotRack. They also signed a defensive end, Isaiah Thomas, off the Bengals practice squad. They have a plan to replace Aiden Hutchinson, Mike. But I just wonder how bad will they miss him? Is their offense good enough to overcome that? Or are the Lions still the team to beat in that division?
It's the age-old question, next man up versus next man in. Do you go out and add someone? How difficult is it to add a pass rusher? For other positions, it's harder because it's more interdependent on other guys doing their jobs and understanding how they do their jobs. For a pass rusher, especially if he's going to be situational, you just go in there at the appropriate time, chase the quarterback. I think where this will hurt them is in the postseason, when they come up against a team like maybe the 49ers, which has a very good offense and you need a strong pass rush to take the steam out of it. When you look around the division right now, or the conference right now, I mean, really, who stands out? And the Lions Super Bowl odds actually got lower, went from 10 to 1 to 8.5 to 1 after that Cowboys game, even with the Hutchinson injury. So I think the Lions will be fine. Then there's the question of, will he be able to play in the Super Bowl if they make it? I'd rather he be safe and smart with his body and not rush back, but maybe he'll be ready to go if they make it to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
What was your take on Aaron Rodgers saying that there were too many penalties, including a roughing the passer call on him? There were 22 penalties called on Monday Night Football for 204 yards. And I mean, the Jets have bigger issues, but that was kind of a waste of time.
I struggle when there are a lot of penalties with the question of whether or not the players are simply committing a lot of fouls, or are the officials flag happy? Mm-hmm. You know, holding, there's holding on every play. If it's away from the point of attack, I don't want to see it called. Last night, the holding penalties that they showed were right where the opening was. The touchdown, Aaron Rodgers called it a phantom holding call. The touchdown by Braylon Allen came off the board. Tyron Smith held the defender to create the hole through which Braylon Allen ran. And you can see it. There was another hold on a screen pass they were setting up. The center was holding the guy who would have blown up the screen pass. So is it the players failing to follow the rules? Is it the officials being, as Marv Levy once said, hey, you over-officious jerk? Or is it a little bit of both? But Devin McCourty made this point on PFT Live. It was consistent last night, which, if you're going to have a lot of penalties, at least it should even out instead of being skewed against one team.
Mike, did Woody Johnson making an impulsive move by firing Robert Saleh give license to Jerry Jones to do the same with Mike McCarthy?
I don't know if it sparks a feeding frenzy. Look, at the end of the day, Jerry Jones is cheap, and Jerry Jones doesn't want to pay anyone to not work for him. And that's why we've rarely seen a coach fired in season. Typically, the coach is gone at the end of his contract. And I don't know, though. I mean, if he didn't do it yesterday, they're going into their bye week. If he didn't do it yesterday, when's he going to do it? They've been embarrassed at home three times this season. They've been behind 21-6, 28-6, and 27-6 in each of those three games. They do not play well from behind. They're falling into holes. The only good news for Cowboys fans is there's 4 weeks until the next home game, until you have to witness another debacle like this. And, you know, that at best, they strike me as a team that maybe gets a seat at the playoff table and gets blown out either in the wild card round or the divisional round. And that's clearly not what the Cowboys are trying to do.
Mike, we'll let you go. I'm just wondering, when you see some of the results thus far, there are teams that seem without hope. Do you expect a lot of trades? Could Cleveland try to move some contracts? Do you think that's a possibility?
If I'm the Browns and I'm stuck with this ball and chain of a Deshaun Watson contract, I would trade every asset I have to stockpile draft picks for next year and the year after. Because if you're going to have $92 million, $46 million a year tied up in one player, you build out your roster with young, cheap talent around. It's a disaster for the Browns. This is the worst contract we've seen, the worst trade we've seen in the salary cap era, where you give up three first-round picks, three other picks, $230 million fully guaranteed on a five-year deal. Think of how good they would have been last year with the team they had without him. If they didn't have that dragging them down. Think of how good they'd be this year if they'd been able to bring back Joe Flacco, but they couldn't bring back Joe Flacco because all the fans in Cleveland would be demanding that Flacco play. So it's a mess. And other owners would say, that's what you get for doing a five-year fully guaranteed contract.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.